Welcome to the Experience Focused Leaders Podcast. My name is Alex Shevelenko. I'm CEO and founder of Relate2, and we are on a mission, both with the podcast and with Relate2, to bring the most important ideas to life. And how do we do that? We do that through amazing, immersive, engaging experiences that move your organization forward, move your customers forward, and move us as a society forward. So if you love ideas, if you love bringing these ideas to life, stick around. Also, at the end of the podcast, we'll reveal how you could potentially be a guest speaker on the podcast as well. Let's get started. Welcome to Experience Focused Leaders. I am delighted to introduce you to Shannon McClanahan. She is the CEO of StartX, Stanford's secretive and super weapon of a startup community for alumni and faculty and serial founders, and then one of the best kept secrets in the Silicon Valley. Shannon, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, Alex. I'm very, very delighted to be here.
Well, I'm a huge fan of StartX. I've taken Relate2 AI through the program as a serial founder. It takes no equity, which, you know, we could dive into in a second. I'm advising startups on their board of advisors, and I think it's one of the best community-driven initiatives out there. So I'm delighted to reconnect with the Stanford community through StartX. But tell us a little bit about the program and why it's such impactful contributor to Stanford and Silicon Valley's founder community.
Yes, awesome. Well, thank you, Alex. And of course, people like you are what make us special. StartX has been around for about 15 years.
Keep going. Yeah,
exactly. You're a perfect example. This is a great way to introduce StartX. So StartX has been around for about 15 years. We started out on campus as a program for founders to help founders, Stanford students that were building companies. Fast forward 15 years, we're no longer on campus. We're still a nonprofit, so we don't take any equity or fees from founders. And the whole mission behind StartX is really about building an ecosystem where founders can help founders. And there's no one in the mix that's profiting from that relationship. So unlike other accelerators that might do investments or take investments in exchange, we don't do that. We're stage agnostic, we're industry agnostic. To date, we've had 2,700 founders that are part of StartX in our ecosystem. And over every kind of industry business type you could possibly imagine. The thing that that we do at StartX is really we've developed this ecosystem, and our goal is to bring that ecosystem to bear to help founders succeed. And that's our whole mission. We judge ourselves on whether we're creating that ecosystem and founders are helping founders be successful.
Well, let me shout out, you're being too modest, I think. Let me shout out some of the statistics and you could react as to what's the secret behind them. So $120 billion of value created, 20 unicorns, 10 decacorns, 150 companies valued at over $100 million. Average company raises as much as $42 million. So this is non-trivial set of stats. You know, most accelerators that do pay money, you know, and you pay money to get into it, can't deliver these types of results. And, you know, some people refer this to like YC without the giving up the equity, or like, I don't know if that's an accurate comparison, but like, tell us a little bit about how are you able to accomplish such a, you know, to get to such a track record of success?
Yeah, I think it really starts with the mission, right? Mm-hmm. If the mission is not about focusing on returns, but really helping founders do what they want to do, that's where it all starts. And because mm-hmm. we're a nonprofit, the founders that that initially came to StartX, and the founders that have since that joined StartX, and we'll talk about how to apply and get into StartX, but they really felt like they got some value because they had people that were knowledgeable in the ecosystem, that were willing to help them, mm-hmm. that were willing to share their time, effort, mm-hmm. energies, And so as they become more successful or over time, it's a flywheel, and those founders want to give back because of what
Right.
they've experienced. And it's a unique system where, or a unique ecosystem where you really have founders talking to founders. And I think in other ecosystems, you could have that, but that's not at the core.
That's the
And
core. That's not the
so,
primary, opportunity. It tends to be very investor focused. It's all about prepping you just for the investment. And I mean, I think what one of the things that strikes me as some of the reasons for the success as well is, in our cohort, there are founders that are, super experienced, multiple successful exits, Series A, B type or very large funding already taken in, and they're still going and participating in the program, contributing into it, building a sense of community. And I think they would be qualified out of 99.9% of any other similar programs because there is the equity component would be just too expensive. So you're
Correct.
basically creating this virtuous cycle of successful folks also joining in the community. And then the other thing that struck me is not only was majority of our class serial founders, but there were people that have taken StartX before and came back as second and third time
And I think
StartX participants, right?
that is probably like the thing that makes me the most proud is when founders who have a lot of experience, right? They've spent a lot of time doing startups, they've done multiple of them, and they still find a need that they one that StartX fulfills where they're getting something that they're not getting from the rest of the ecosystem. And don't get me wrong, the rest of the ecosystem, venture capital, every lawyers, everyone else. Cloud companies super valuable in the ecosystem. I think we just play a particular role, and a lot of the companies that come through StartX also do other programs. You know, like they go on to raise VCs. They participate in programs at Stanford. And so, yeah, we're just we play a unique role there, and because we're pretty pure in terms of our goals is really, you know, our goal is making those founders successful in whatever way that is important to those founders and helping. You know, it's not Shannon telling Alex what he should do. It's Alex telling Shannon what he needs, and then Shannon and StartX team going and finding those resources and saying, "Here, let us connect you in the same room." And that's kind of the magic of the organization.
Yeah, and this is helpful because I think sometimes we get a little bit in the consensus mode in the industry, and there is a sort of conveyor belt, so to speak, of like accelerator, pre-seed, seed, A, blah blah blah, and like, and it's fine. If that's what's necessary, that's a great, Silicon Valley is best in class at doing that. But I think some of the special things that I did find in the community is that you could get that advice, get that expertise, play the game the way it's played right now, but there's also an opportunity to change the game and not get stuck in that pattern. And obviously StartX still kind of wants venture scale outcomes. I don't think it's like
Totally.
yeah, it's very ambitious and it's like it's not gonna be like laying back and laid back and like it doesn't matter. This is Stanford and it's very hard to get in. And maybe you could talk a little bit about like the ambitiousness and the kind of how many times some people apply to get in. But it feels like at the same time it maintains that adaptability because the incentives are aligned around the company's success and the founder's success.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really is the through line of what you're talking about and what you're seeing with founders at different stages is, you know, you can go through a 10-week accelerator program, and we have our 10-week program. But at the end of 10 weeks, you're not done building your business. And whether you're seed, your pre-seed, your A, your C, guess what? You're still facing a lot of very similar challenges as a founder, and you're still looking for those opportunities where people can bring you perspective, whether it's investors, whether it's customers, whether it's fellow founders. And I think that as much as we like to say, oh, you get, you know, people think, oh, when you get to Series B or Series C, it's all smooth sailing, you got it all figured out. The reality is, you talk to those founders and they're like, oh my gosh,
It
it's
was
so
never
hard.
like that. And I think it was never like
Exactly.
that. But I think particularly in the age of AI and like was us being an AI startup, this is basically you have to reinvent yourself every few months, if not more
Totally.
frequently.
Totally.
And if we are really like want to grow at scale, for example, it relates to like we have a core platform that is probably adapting at like at its own startups, but then we're going go to market by vertical by vertical. And so guess what? Each vertical is effectively a brand new startup, just happened to be having de-risked, 85% of the stack on the technology and the delivery, but not de-risked necessarily on the go-to-market, which, as we know, is like a very big component of success.
Yeah,
And
few
so,
founders are being are will sell like, oh, it's everything's great. I don't have to do anything. It's just automatic.
Well,
It
those
doesn't happen.
stories are those are not the real stories, I think. They're
Exactly.
heavily edited
Yeah,
edited out of
absolutely.
the.
And I can tell you a little bit about the application process and how people come into to StartX. So it was started on campus at Stanford. So the you do have to have someone on your team that was part of a Stanford that was part of Stanford. It could be an alum, current students. We have a lot of current student founders, but most of the companies that come to us are in some stage beyond idea. They apply to StartX. It's really competitive to get in. We have three cycles a year. And in that application process, you apply, and then there's a couple rounds of interviews, and founders are evaluated on different criteria. And the folks that are doing that evaluation are actually a lot of the StartX community. So we have about 135 judges that participate in various types. That are evaluating the founders. And we're looking for a couple different things. I play no role in admissions, as I should not, because it is meant to be kind of arm's length. But founders, the average founder, I think, applies twice before they get in, two or three times. We do provide feedback. Things that we're looking for is mostly a founder's commitment to their business. And again, it's not about necessarily commercial success. We have nonprofits. We have small companies that don't have huge markets but are making a big impact potentially in a space that might serve few people that otherwise might not get served. So part of that, we're really looking at the founder's ability to execute their vision and be successful. And I think that's fairly consistent in Silicon Valley. I think we do want them to be successful, but they're defining the terms of what success looks like, whether it's commercial or not commercial. And we want to make sure that they have the tools and the skill sets to actually to do it. And when things get hard, they're not going to just give up and go apply for a job at Google or Microsoft. They're really committed to this thing. And we also believe that we're investing in founders, and they don't always get it right the first time. So there's we're happy when our founders are successful the second or third time. They're still part of StartX. So that actually also frees us up a little bit to really, really, truly focus on the founder as opposed to what is the TAM of this market and things like that. So it's hard to get in. People try multiple times because it is so valuable, and when they get in, they're very happy. We do turn, we do accept only, any session is we're accepting 10 to 20% of the applicants. We don't have a fixed number, but it is competitive to get it.
I'll just come out and say it. Like we applied was the relate to when we were in the mode of in a more tech-enabled service, and we had designs on building a scalable business, but it was kind of early days of AI. We didn't figure it out yet, and we didn't get in. And one of the feedback was, well, are you going to be paying the bills and running the kind of this agency-based service, which was great. Like we had great customers, and it was actually turned out later to be our secret weapon the second time we applied and when we got in. But it was very much we were in passionate about this problem set, but the first approach was not going to deliver the scale And it was learning, and that was part of the feedback from StartX is like, hey, commit, like you've got what it takes, but you got to commit. You can't be de-risking this with services. You got to go and build, build a really fundamentally different business. And I think it was a unpleasant message at the time because we thought we could do it all, but it did propel us to think harder about, where are we going to draw that line, right? And I think it's not an easy transition from a service-led business to kind of a pure play tech, and we needed to recommit to that. And I think that so that StartX has been real core part of that pivot, and we're grateful for that, and we're still kind of learning like on the journey on that journey, but it's
Sure. Me
wonderful.
too, by the way. I think we all are, right? That's part of what brings us to this industry.
So I think the reason I bring it up is that what was the feedback that we received in applying through the process, it was actually valuable because sometimes you apply, you kind of talk to VCs if you're trying to get funding, and you get meh feedback that's like neither here nor there. It doesn't really help you, it doesn't have enough incentives for an investor to tell you that you got something off, or at least it looks to the from their point of view, it looks like something doesn't work, because they don't have the incentive is not right. They want to keep the
Yeah,
relationship. You're going
they
to
don't want to
come
say no
back.
until later.
And I think StartX, what they've done, and I think this is the main spirit of the program, is like it's obsessed with feedback, both for yourself as an organization, right? Like I get more survey requests then I know
Working on
what to
that.
do with, but it's good. It's a sign. But also for those that are eager to learn, you provided like a really helpful feedback from that first application, and it was like, oh yeah, like this was, we valued the people who were interviewing us. They were switched on, so it wasn't like feedback from random people that don't know anything about anything, just opinionating. And so it was valuable. So I would just say that's maybe not everybody provides has the time and the bandwidth to do that. And I think you give back to community through that alone.
I think feedback is like really important, and we value that. And I think what you experienced, a founder's job is to take back lots of feedback, and you're going to get opinions, right, from everybody and their sister who's an expert. And your job as a founder is to sort through those and decide, what's valuable and what you want to do as a founder. It's not necessarily what investor X says you should do this. You, as the founder, it's your business. You got to kind of be able to really sort through all that feedback and decide what's important. And I think for us, that's very much a core value. And we like to make sure that we practice what we preach too, hence all the surveys that
Well,
we send out.
one of the core values as well, as we discussed, is that the founders that had some success are giving back. So let's like, what are some of the stories of these successful founders, and what are they, what lessons are they sharing? Let's, we have folks here
Oh.
that want to get a little bit of a flavor. What are some of the, we'll keep it probably at the soundbitey level, but what are some of the big ahas that kind of surprise you or surprise founders that are going through the program, that they're learning?
So I'm surprised when I hear it, even though I hear it a lot. So take that with a grain of salt. But for example, I had dinner with six very experienced founders that are part of StartX about 2 weeks ago. And we were getting together to see like how we can help those founders, because a lot of them have been part of StartX for years. And they're all kind of at a similar stage. Their companies are worth more than $100 million. And some of these people are so incredibly impressive. In this case, I won't call out who, but they founded multiple companies and been very successful. And it's amazing to
I was
hear
not
them.
invited to that dinner, so let's just let's they're
It,
very good. The
they're only six. But like, I am surprised to hear these incredible. Incredibly successful people talk about the challenges they have, and those challenges are the same, and how they're Like the help that they need from each other is very much like, hey, we're doing really well in this category, but I'm worried that if we don't, do something about this category, we're never going to make it. And that they're looking for, each other to talk through that. And I find that just incredible. Again, it's not that we're providing the answers. I think we're providing the forum for them to get the answers from each other. And so I find that very humbling. Some of the people that have come through StartX that are engaged, whether they're mentors, whether they're founders are incredible. We've had the founders of Patreon, Lime back in the day, still around, doing really well. OpenSea, which is Web3, Orca Bioscience. Actually, a little known fact is about 20 to 30% of our companies are in the biomed space somewhere. Orca Bioscience is a unicorn. And the founder, Yvonne, or Ivan, I would say Yvonne, Ivan Dimal, it's a second unicorn company. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he's talking about how StartX really helped him through, and he wants to give back, and he wants to help, and he wants to he actually just led a what we call the pod for companies that are raising money that just participated in the demo day. He led the fundraising pod for the folks in med and bio, and he's talking about how much like he gets out of helping them, as well as they're getting out of helping him. So I think that filling that void is just something that is just constantly refreshing and successful. And someone saying, StartX really helped me, back when dot dot dot. And you could fill in that with 100 sentences. People's, back in the day, like, hey, I didn't, I used to come to StartX because I didn't have anywhere to go, and I would take a nap just so I could sleep and then work on my company. There's things like that, or people that were interns, right? I just learned that David Rosenthal, who runs the Acquired podcast, was an intern at StartX. Like, how great is that? So the people that have come and touched StartX are super impressive. And the thing that really I think you'll find, and you probably have found, is when you reach out to a StartX founder, even if you don't know them, you say, hey, I'm a StartX founder, they are that trust that is there. Is so intangible but so valuable that they will help you, and it's kind of like, yes, what do you need? Let me help you.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I think there is this I think what you're tapping, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the general there's a lot of burden on a founder or any leader is to keep all the absorb everything, keep a lot of information to themselves. And we've learned that the hard way. So I've tried to share some of my like day-to-day challenges with my lovely spouse. And she's like too much information was pretty clear kind of feedback that I've received, right? And some people, you have other family members that are kind of in the business, maybe that's a good way to share, but I think the family has its own psychology and comfort zones and around, entrepreneurial pursuits that trigger all sorts of interesting things that are, not very comfortable, right? A lot of founders also have a dynamic of trying to prove to their parents, that they're good enough and all that stuff. And so that just gets messy. So family, risky, right? VCs, depends on the relationship, but as a whole, history shows that this backfires more, certainly at later stages and at stages of the board. You need to be transparent, but you need to be doing so strategically. And a lot of the best practice advice is the way to share with the board is to manage the expectations of the board, have pre-board meetings with everyone. And so that is like, A, not only is that not efficient, but it's also not really an authentic way to really lay what's going on for you. So who you're left with, like executive coaches that hopefully get the startup game, and founders, right? Fellow founders that are on this
Right.
journey. And when you shared with fellow founders, I think there's sharing amongst yourselves, your peer and your exec company, that's important. But like, you don't have the expertise, right? Typically, one is technology, the other is business, right? Like, or whatever the divide is. So you're getting maybe support, but not necessarily the right advice and the right understanding that, oh yeah, we are in the exact same shoes, or we were like that 5 years ago and 10 years ago. And the moment you hit that spot where you feel like you're no longer alone, you're no longer, separated from, everybody else, and you're carrying this burden, I think it's a massive relief, right? Like, I think, whether in our personal lives, when we discover we're some sort of peer groups, right, and we discover that we're not the only ones dealing with a particular challenge, it's like, oh my God, you also had this in your family. Like, it's sort of like,
You
that
followed
means that I'm not the
completely.
crazy one, or my family is not the crazy one. It's kind of all of a sudden, it's like, we're all humans. We're all susceptible to our, biases and challenges. And so this brings that humanity to the founder game. And that is beautiful. That is not easily exist. And you kind of need to work at creating it somewhere else. You need to be deliberate at finding peers that are
Absolutely.
going through the stages that are willing to be open. And I think it's StartX, to give you guys credit. You're creating that environment. You're facilitating these groups. You're getting more seasoned founders or founders who've been through that journey, to contribute, to be more authentic and to say what's real, so that it jumps the floor of like people not saying, oh, everything is rolling and we're killing it, and whatever the FOMO stuff that kind of we think we should be saying. But I'm going on a bit long on this, but I think this feels to me like a really valuable human contribution that StartX brings to the startup journey.
Yeah, I think that what you hit on, which I think probably any founder, like the unique experience that a founder has, right, is that at the same time, they are so optimistic and totally committed that they are going to change the world in this positive way and their business is going to be amazing and successful and it's awesome, right? And they live that, they breathe it. At the same time, they have this other reality, which is, oh my God, my company's going to go out of business. It's never going to work. And they hold those two realities at the same time. And that experience alone, it's rare. That's what kind of brings founders together, no matter what industry, right? And that is, I think, where you're talking to. There are very few people who've lived in those two worlds at exactly the same time. And it does, you kind of have a secret handshake almost, and a secret language.
And I think what you're bringing up is that there is almost this emotional connection, and then there is a pragmatic set of tools or experiences and coping with it and dealing with it. And they're almost different, but double complementary if you could combine them, right? So,
Yeah, it's impossible to solve. It's almost impossible to separate them, because founders aren't doing something because it's like, oh, this checks the boxes and I should do this because there's a market opportunity. This they're doing it because they believe in it and they want to spend their time and their effort and the precious thing that they have doing it. It's not necessarily because it checks some boxes. They actually have a fundamental belief that the world should be different. I hate to bring up Elon Musk because I feel like it's bringing up Steve Jobs and being like, oh, here's the obvious solution. But you think about like Elon Musk, he's really rich, right? He doesn't need money. And I don't think that anyone listening to him would think like, oh, he's doing all this stuff because he wants to make money. Like he fundamentally believes in what he's doing is, important. And he has some benefits that maybe earlier founders don't have at this point from an experience standpoint. But I think that you talk to founders and that's the heart that you get at, which is no, I really think people should go to Mars. I think we should colonize Mars. And that is a just a different motivation than This has a big market opportunity, and
Right.
I feel
The
like we could
TAM
have a
is this
competitive
big.
advantage. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It is very emotional, so I think it's hard to separate those. And I think you and everyone that's part of StartX is a great example of that. You actually, like, you could go probably do a lot of other things, many, many other things, but you're choosing to do this and spend your time doing, what you believe in.
Yeah, well, we believe in that it's going to be hard to colonize Mars with PDFs. So that's our that's going to be our contribution to saving humanity and improving healthcare system and making insurance come to life is that
Totally.
we'll bring these complex ideas and communications into out of compliance mode into consumption. And human grade mode while maintaining compliance. But I think it's interesting the this back to your topic of the motivation to change the world, but then the reality that this is not like it that's just one small part of the story, right? Like you need to have this 20-year vision and but you need to have the mental
This 2 week
presence,
reality.
stamina to go through the short term, where
Yeah.
everything is breaking, and like there's not enough of this and that by definition, and sort of kind of and I think where I'm learning towards, and I think maybe this is broader theme on the startup challenge is to enjoy the challenge. I think we sometimes that maybe
Absolutely.
right, like I think that maybe that's harder to get it on your first go because you're sort of like you're trying to fit some sort of playbook, but what I think is that I see is the second time founders, I think they've maybe de-risked a little bit of like, well, maybe they're able to separate themselves from an outcome somehow, or just the second round is easier, and they're just like, hey, let's have some. This sounds like a meaty problem. Let's have some fun solving
Yeah,
it.
I think that's right. I mean, I think your experience, well, actually, we'll split the table a little bit. Like, what have you found most valuable about StartX in the community? In, you've applied multiple times, you got in, you've done this before. Like, what do you find just in the, I mean, we saw each other last week at the demo day. Like,
Yeah.
what do you find magical? You're in that environment. There's a bunch of other founders around that you're talking to. Maybe you haven't seen them in a while. Like, what? Tell me about your experience with that and why it's valuable to you as a founder.
Well, I always look at StartX as a little bit of a as a proxy of the Stanford connection for me. And I have, amazing connection to Stanford. I think some of the courses that we're taking at the business school in particular, which is where I did, I think are deeply relevant in life and in business. Like one is called Interpersonal Dynamics, which is popular and known as touchy-feely, which is really like entry point into like self-awareness for people that are like generally pretty driven and kind of willing to break through the walls to get to whatever they need to, but they forget that there's other people around, and they need to bring them on that journey. And so this sort of gives you the language. And so to deal with it. So for me, it's like when I meet founders who have that business school background, like that's a common language and we could connect with immediately. And when I meet technical and scientific founders, it kind of reminds me like how lucky I was as an MBA type to get into Stanford in the first place, because these are like geniuses, walking around, and they're just like the way their mind works is so impressive. And so I think there's that kind of sense of awe about the intellectual horsepower in the room when they're StartX. And that's kind of that's fantastic experience. So why Stanford connecting to Stanford? So I don't spend all my time in the Valley, right? And so when I go back to StartX or to Stanford, it's sort of a it's great because it's connecting back to the sort of spirit to the kind of the era of everything is possible. And I think having a more almost bringing yourself back to when you were just starting at your in your career. and not being set in the certain ways, and being kind of reminding yourself that you're here to learn as a founder, right? You're like massive learning machine. I think that's beautiful. So I think that's kind of reconnection to Silicon Valley is one of the biggest things, and Stanford. The second broad theme is kind of coming back to that point of sharing the journey with founders. I think it's just some founders are, really impress you because they quote unquote have less experience, but they're totally kicking ass in something, and you're like, fuck, whatever, fudge, holy fudge. What was my experience? What the hell, what am I doing here? Like this whippersnapper is like really nailed this. And so that's really awesome, right? Because it kind of keeps you on your toes a little bit, because you could learn from people that are better than you. And then if you're help in a help mode, the best way to learn something for yourself is to help another founder and explain that concept clearly, because then you actually understand it at that point, right? Like, and that is something that I really enjoy from being on the board of advisors, because sometimes when you're in your own stuff, your thinking gets a little messier. You're too close to
Totally.
data. Like, ooh, I'm kind of wobbly on my own thing. And then when I listen to myself giving advice to somebody else, which is easier, I like it
Lightning
does.
bolt.
Like, I like this Alex Shevlenko, he's actually, has something valuable to contribute at this point. So, but it forces you to clarify your own thinking when you're helping. And I think the pattern matching mechanism of kind of having a conversation with others works. And then the connection and just the humanity of being in the same journey is big. I think for me, especially as I'm kind of more in the stage of being a parent and being a founder, I'm looking at the founding journey as a way to have the impact in the world of what we're doing, but also how we're doing it, right? And so I think being able to do it through a community, helping with others, collaborating with other like-minded folks, I think that's beautiful. So those are three
Love
things
that. Love that.
that I would say.
Yeah. I
Silicon
mean, I think
Valley
you
and
hit on it.
Stanford,
Yeah. Stanford. I mean, Stanford's
the
like the gold standard in community. I mean, Stanford has created something truly amazing, and we are very, very proud to be part of it.
But I would have said, like, I would not have guessed that the last piece, the human connection piece of like creating the sort of non-competitive environment, that where you could collaborate, I would have underestimated the value of that if you would have at, like when I was doing the first time around. I think so that's sort of where the lessons are.
Think
And
there's something,
sorry, go ahead. And
I was gonna
my
say
first
what you
exit,
said.
my first
Go ahead.
exit at Stanford, I got lucky, right? Like, so I kind of like was fortunate that I was just like, hey, this is just got lucky. And so you need to be humble enough to say, hey, I got to learn from people that have done this before, or the market is changing, everything is changing. So it's sort of this constant sense of humility, I think is great, because there's less egos, I think, if you're in some community-driven organizations, that I think we need, like at X, when you're pitching at X and you're in this external world, I think it's you have to play some sort of ego and status game. And I think you don't have to do as much of that
Yeah,
at least.
I think you've nailed it in terms of, your insights and your viewpoint are very much about what a lot of people here at StartX believe in. And I think everyone has a, no matter what they've achieved, has a humbleness of, well, I can probably learn more. And it's a steep learning curve. No matter what stage I'm at, I'm still learning. And that's kind of what and I'm willing to learn and I want to learn, but I also want to help and I want to share and I want to, make it easier for people to do what I spent a long time or hard time doing. And that willingness and that eagerness to give back is something I think it's true for founders. I definitely think it's true for every StartX founder.
Well, and I, like as you ask, like one of my other favorite things, and I want to give a shout out to you and the entire team, is the actual staff at Stardex. Like, they're
Like
just
top
amazing
shelf.
people, amazing humans, very positive energy, very much there to help. Like, this the kind of combining the hustle was a not like a was a nonprofit kind of ethos, which is not a trivial combo, I would say, to find people that have that in their DNA.
This is my first nonprofit that I've actually like worked at. So I would agree with you. The staff is freaking awesome.
Yeah, and I just like
Really amazing.
coming back, and it just feels like they know who you are. It's like, it really is a community, right? It's not like it's
It's a
not
community. That's
there.
what we are, first and foremost.
Yeah, and there was like a very interesting one. Like, somebody, one of your colleagues was like texting me during the receptions, like, hey, you got to calling me, like, Alex, Adobe is looking for you. You got to talk to Adobe. Like, and it was just like, and you could see he was stressed that we're not going to connect.
Negative connect, yeah.
And he literally asked, like, hey, who can I connect you with? So it's just these little things, but they come from the heart. They don't come because they have to, or like, it's because, people really want to contribute. And I think that's a beautiful setting, because I think a lot of, there's a lot of work to create an environment that you've created, right? Like, this sort of organic,
Well,
that
that
rarely happens
everyone, I
organically.
mean, this is sitting
Never
on
happens
the shoulders
organically,
of
right?
giants, right? Yeah, this is 15 years of hundreds and thousands of people contributing to StartX to make it what it is today.
So
And you see
Shannon,
it.
as we're wrapping up on the hour, like, how can
Yay.
people get to know more about StartX, contribute to the latest StartX initiatives?
Excellent. Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, always come to our website. StartX.com, or email me, Shannon@StartX.com, if you need anything. But we would love founders to apply to StartX. We do admissions 3 times a year. We are always taking donations. So we have a new building that's going to be in the Stanford Research Park around the corner from our current building. We are always fundraising for that. The most important thing that we love is people that are willing to mentor and help our founders. So if you're interested, you can email me, you can reach out on the website. There's a form to fill out to mentor, whether you're an expert, whether you're a generalist. That contribution really, really helps founders. And if you're a founder, please apply. We'd love to have you.
And to all my Stanford listeners and friends, this is one of the greatest way to can stay connected to Stanford in a very meaningful way, where you're helping bring important ideas to life. And we'd love for you to support this initiative as well. So thank you, Shannon. Thank you for joining us,
Thank
and
you, Alex,
thank
and
you for all
thanks
the
for
great work.
being part of the StartX community in such an amazing
Proud
way.
of it. Proud of it. Thank you. Welcome back. Alex Shevelenko here. Thank you so much for listening to Experience Focused Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at podcast.relayto.com, RELYTO.com. Obviously, we would love for you to send this to people that you know who would be great speakers, or just share the nuggets that you took away from this episode with your community on social. And you could learn more about what we're up to on relayto.com. You could certainly connect with me on LinkedIn, where it's just very easy to spell my name. You have to have a master's in Ukrainian. It's Shevelenko, Shevelenko. Would love to connect so that we can move together the way the world communicates about its most important ideas. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you next time.